From in the beginning to the musical apocalypse, this is The Bible Says What. I'm your host, Mike Wiseman, and on today's episode I talk with Nathan Jones, web minister and co-author of 12 Faith Journeys of the Minor Prophets. Like many Christians, Nathan believes Yahweh to be just and fair. Christians will claim that their deity is fair and loving, yet they believe that their deity created a place to send people who do not believe in him or love him to be tortured for all eternity. That does not make any sense. Eternal punishment for not believing something to be true or for not loving someone is pointlessly cruel and vindictive. If I decided to endlessly torture my child because it didn't respect me or listen to me or love me, what would you think of me? How would I be perceived in a civilized society? Let's start the show.
Is there anything in the Bible that you yourself have an issue with? Okay, so it took you reading the Bible to realize that those things were bad for you?
Yeah, it actually did.
Couldn't you figure this out on your own?
No, Ted Bundy could be redeemed. God doesn't kill children.
What do you think the Passover was? Yahweh sets up a whole system in the Old Testament where you slaughter animals just so he's able to forgive you.
All right, today we have with us Nathan Jones, who's the co-author of 12 Faith Journeys of the Minor Prophets. Welcome to the show, Nathan.
It's good to be on, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your book?
Well, a little background. My name's Nathan Jones. I'm the associate evangelist and web minister with Lamb and Lion Ministries. We're a Bible prophecy teaching ministry whose mission it is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. And we do that through a number of different ways, primarily our television show, Christ in Prophecy, which is now in its 16th season. It's aired on all the major Christian networks. Wow. We do conferences, speaking, and we write and produce a lot of materials. And one of those materials is a book I produce with a pastor friend of mine called 12 Faith Journeys of the Minor Prophets. It looks at that little sliver of the Bible, that 7% of the Old Testament that's pretty much neglected, and that is the 12 Minor Prophets.
Nice. So what is faith to you?
Well, I always look at Hebrews 11:1 to explain faith. The Bible describes as now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so that's how the Bible describes it, and that's how I tend to believe it too. It's the substance of things hoped for. You can't see it, but there's enough evidence there that you believe it.
So it's a substance. Can you do any? I mean, the Bible explains a lot about what faith is, and it seems to give it some pretty extraordinary attributes here. Let's look at Hebrews 11:1 for instance there. Do you happen to have your Bible with you?
I do. And when you say substance, it could also be translated as the realization. For instance, when you want to marry a woman and you've spent enough time with her, you've gotten to know her, you like her, you're compatible with her, you have the evidence is there, the feelings are there, and then you decide to marry her. You're putting hope that in the next 50, 60 years you're going to be married with her, that you'll have a good marriage. But that's based on the evidences that you've seen, the experiences and the feelings that you've had with her. Likewise, it's the same with God. As a Christian, I look at the evidences I see around me from what I read in the Bible, the change in people's lives, and I can go through many other. Particularly Romans 1, which says that we have the evidence based on the creation, the complexity of creation, and the experiences I have with God. Put that all together, and that is the foundation for my faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I wish the author of Hebrews wrote things not yet seen, because we believe that someday we will see them.
Gotcha. Hebrews 11:4, let's start there. It says, "By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did." By faith he offered him a better sacrifice. What does that mean? How does the faith work in that specific instance?
Certainly. Well, bear in mind, these are the there weren't very many people on the planet at the time. Obviously, Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and whoever sisters and brothers they had at the time. They got to see God a lot more. Obviously, Adam and Eve walked and talked and had fellowship with God in the garden. They got to see him face to face. And when they sinned against God, there was a division, that a pure God could not be with an impure people anymore. And all of human history is to get us back to that garden condition again, a time where we walk and talk and have fellowship with God face to face, a process of human history that's working towards the redemption of mankind. And the redemption of mankind is those who put their faith and trust in God. They believe what God says, they obey him, they want to follow him. And that was the difference between Cain and Abel. Abel loved God. He was willing to follow him. He also followed the attributes. Now, there's been different time periods, different requirements for sacrifices. Abel was obviously a shepherd. Cain was a farmer. So Cain likely offered vegetables, and Abel likely offered a lamb. We don't know. It doesn't say. But what it is there was a relation. Like, for instance, if you have children, and you have two children, for instance, and one loves to be with you, loves to talk with you and fellowship with you. He obeys you when you ask him to do something. But you have another son. He's rebellious. He doesn't want to be around you. He doesn't care about you. He don't obey you. And so that was the difference between Cain and Abel. Abel loved God, but Cain did not.
Where does the faith part come in, though?
Where does the faith? Well, faith has got elements of hope. They've got elements of trust, and they also have elements of obedience. Jesus said that if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And so Abel obeyed the requirements for the sacrifice at that time period, whereas Cain, he just took anything. When you're referring to the minor prophets, you want to talk about sacrifice, for instance. You want to look at Malachi. That is the last book in the Old Testament. And Malachi was a priest at the temple. The Jewish people had returned from being exiled to Babylon. They were rebuilding their country again. And he was working in the temple, and the people were bringing their sacrifices to the temple. Now, the sacrificial system, let's go back a little, was always meant to show Jesus Christ, the perfect lamb, pure, holy, and blameless. Then, so the requirements for the animals to be sacrificed
if the sacrificial system was supposed to be referencing Jesus, just a real obvious thing, why doesn't it reference Jesus?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking. Why does not reference Jesus?
Why does the Old Testament sacrificial system never reference Jesus? It never says you're doing this because Jesus is going to come eventually. And then those people who are doing this actually don't even get to meet Jesus. So it's really kind of pointless for those people to be, you know, killing things as a preparation for Jesus.
Okay, I understand your question. Why they say, hey, I'm going to have a son named Jesus. He's going to show up, and he's going to be the perfect lamb. He's going to be the perfect sacrifice. I understand. Okay, yeah. Why did they not know about the Son of God, you're saying? Well, in one they did, when you read in all the references to the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord was worshipped as God. He was the pre-incarnate Jesus, the Son of God. So they knew that. They also knew about the Messiah coming, especially, again, in the minor prophets like Micah and all. They knew that they were coming. And then, again, it was also about obedience. Faith is tied to obedience. Would they obey the precepts of God or would they not? And that's what Malachi was facing. Just a quick finish up what I was Malachi there is the people were bringing in lame, they were bringing in sick, they were even stealing animals and bring them to the sacrifice. And Malachi was like, well, wait a minute here, you know, this isn't what the Lord asked you to do. If you love the Lord, you would obey his commands. And his commands were bring a perfect and holy sacrifice. Now, it isn't the act of killing the animal that, as the Old Testament taught, was the temporary atonement for the covering of the sins. In other words, when you disobey God, you have sinned. You have put a barrier between you and him, and the penalty is death. And that, of course, is death and hell. And so we needed, in the Old Testament, a covering for the sins until the Messiah came, the perfect sacrifice to die on the cross.
Yeah.
So the animal's blood would temporarily cover, and then Hebrews explains it and the Apostle Paul explains it, that the blood temporarily covered the sins until the sacrifice was made. And that sacrifice being the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice without blemish or spot or sin, Jesus Christ. After that, the sacrificial system was no more. Matter of fact, it was destroyed in 70 AD. There hasn't been a temple since 70 AD because the sacrificial system, the old covenant, is gone. And we're now under a new covenant, a covenant of grace, whereas when we put our faith, there's that word again, and trust in Jesus Christ, our sins aren't just covered, they are forgiven. And by forgiven, then, we can stand before God once more, and we're in that relationship of Adam and Eve, that perfect sacrifice, perfect relationship, where we talk and have fellowship with God once more. And I don't know about you, man. I know atheists, you guys don't want to be with God for eternity, and I can understand if you don't like, you don't believe, and you don't, and frankly, my relatives and friends who are atheists, you know, they actually go as far as hating God, that, you know, you wouldn't want to be with somebody that you hate forever and eternity. But for those Christians who love Jesus and are looking forward to being with him forever, just like a groom is looking forward to being with his bride the rest of his life, then we're looking forward to being with Jesus Christ forever. And that full circle of humanity is restored.
Right. But in order for him to accomplish all of that, he needs bloodshed. He needs blood to be spilled. This perfect, all-powerful being requires blood, death, in order to forgive people. But in actuality, Hebrews 9:22 says the forgiving of there's no
In actuality,
Yahweh can forgive people without the shedding of blood. Also, Jesus has forgiven people without the shedding of blood. So all of this bloodshed and death is actually pointless if this perfect, all-knowing, all-powerful being can actually do something without having to kill anything. Jesus forgives a paralyzed man in Matthew 9:2, Luke 5:20, and Mark 2:5. And then Jesus forgives a woman who won't stop kissing his feet in Luke 7:47. And then in the Old Testament...
about the adulteress that was going to be stoned.
Yes.
I mean, by Levitical law, the law that God made should have been stoned. And Jesus said, go and sin no more. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, and then Yahweh forgives David in 2 Samuel 12:13 in the Old Testament without David even asking, without David even sacrificing anything. So God is able to forgive without bloodshed. He doesn't need all of this death and blood spilled to his name so he can forgive you. Why does he need Jesus to die if he doesn't even need blood to forgive us?
Well, all the examples you gave are examples of forgiveness based on one or two sins or a lifestyle of sin. It still doesn't answer the problem that a humanity has, and that is that we have broken fellowship with God. So here we have a God who's perfect and holy and pure. That'd be like you coming out and you got your nicest clothes on. You got your white clothes. You just came out of the shower. You know, your hair is clean. And then you walk outside and you get even the littlest speck of dirt on you. It's noticeable. You can see it. It's right there. It's an offense. And so what happens is that you have committed a crime. Let's say, for instance, you're a serial killer and you have killed people.
I'm not
and
a
you
serial
go to
killer,
court.
Though.
No. I'm using an example. Let's even go in less. Okay. Well, tell me this, Michael. Have you ever lied?
Of course.
Of course. Have you ever stolen anything?
Sure I have.
Yeah, I mean, especially as little kids, I still remember stealing a handful of peanuts.
Yeah.
Jesus said if you even looked at a woman lustfully, we're actually committing adultery in our own hearts.
Why can't
have you
he just
ever
forgive
looked
me,
at a
then?
Person?
Why does he have to have all these special things just to forgive me? Why can't he just forgive? Because I can just forgive you for doing something. We as a society, as a human race, are able to forgive each other without anything having to die. Without having to threaten somebody with eternal torture and fire. But I think we're getting off the subject here a little bit. I just wanted to reconfirm.
I think you're right here. You're bringing up a great point because, well, for instance, this. Let's say somebody goes, they've killed a child, and they are in a court case, and they are standing before a judge. The judge has the ability to commute their sentence, right? He has the ability to not sentence them. But can he say that they're not guilty? Or guilty. No, but that's up to the jury. Well, according to the law of God, when we have sinned, when we have broken fellowship with God, then we stand under the wrath of God. Let me pull this up for you. I think this is a great verse that will help answer that question. And that's.
But that doesn't sound like a loving God, though.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm getting to that. John 3:36, and it reads, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him."
Why? Just for not believing? He's going to get mad at me just for not believing in him? Doesn't that seem kind of ridiculous?
Well, you're in one step, but let's step back. Okay, you lied, you've stolen, you've lusted after someone, right? You've broken at least the Ten Commandments.
I've had a thought
crime, most of us have broken
and I've talked back to my parents. Now I deserve death,
right,
according to
because,
God.
Because, well, look at God's standard. God's standard is perfection. Do you know a human being who's ever been perfect?
If a human being was perfect and said, "Well, you're not being perfect to me, I'm going to kill you now," that is a ridiculous thing to say. And for a God to say that, who says he's loving and perfect, is even more ridiculous.
Okay, well, look at it this way. the child that was killed by the person, who's not the guy who's now on trial, does the child deserve justice?
Sure.
Okay. If you stole something from somebody, does the person you stole from, do they receive, should they get some kind of recompense back?
Sure. But if I don't love somebody, they shouldn't get something in return as a punishment.
Well, love's an element. See, this is where, and when I talk with atheists, they either see the love or the justice, but they don't see both. God is both perfect and love and justice. Now, justice is love when you think about it. If a judge sentences a man to prison or even to the death sentence,
that's completely isn't different he doing than it? What God does, though. God tortures children. God drowns children.
Who gets
God
the justice? You're looking at the criminal.
Michael,
you're looking at the criminal, but you're not looking at the victim. The victim is the child. Isn't that an act
Poor
of love
Jesus, I didn't
to
love him.
Bring
now he's
justice to the child?
Forever. That doesn't sound... Dude, we're talking about Jesus and God here, not a child who has been wronged. This is an all-powerful, perfect being, right? Why does he need my love so much, and if I don't love him, he's going to torture me forever? There's no love in that, man. There's no justice in that at all. If my kids say they don't love me, you know, that's hurtful. But I'm not going to torture them. I'm not going to punish them. I'm not going to threaten them. I'm not going to drown them. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Well, see, that's what you're saying. You're saying that God is the one doing it. But you know, when we sinned against God, we placed ourselves under the death sentence. You know, originally,
hell
was created
for wrong,
Satan.
It was him that drowned himself because, you know, he did what was wrong. That's a ridiculous thing. You can't blame the victim here. Just because I don't love your God doesn't mean I'm worthy of being burnt alive forever and tortured.
Well, you're assuming then that you would be sentenced by God to hell, but that you're not already under the sentence. I mean, this is what the Bible teaches, that you were born in sin, and therefore because you're born in sin, you're already born under the death sentence. And that's not what God wants. That's why God did not create us. Did you know that God created humanity to walk and talk and have fellowship with ever? He calls us our heavenly Father. He loves us, and he wants to be with us forever.
If
but
he loves
humanity,
me, he wouldn't torture me with eternal fire. Or he wouldn't threaten me with eternal fire. That doesn't make any sense, man.
Michael, this is what Jesus did to you. He's not threatening you. You're already sentenced to hell. We were all born sentenced to hell.
That doesn't
we
make
are,
it any
because
better,
we're
though.
Sinners, because we're bad. No, but this is what he did. He sent his own son,
he
who was a perfect sacrifice, to die in our place. He believed he did, and he did. To
he
fulfill
did not
his
have
sense
to.
Of
He's
justice.
An all-powerful being. He can snap his fingers and forgive us. That's not
he
that
could,
difficult.
But
he
instead,
did not have
he
to
sent
send
his son.
He didn't have to. That's disgusting.
Well,
if
you
I
say
sent my
he doesn't
son to
have
die,
to, but God believes he did have to, and that's what
God
he did.
God makes the rules, right?
Well, God makes the rules, and he abides by them. And
okay,
he's abiding
so he
by his own
rules.
Sense of justice.
He makes the rules. He made the rule that something had to die. He decided at some point in his eternal life, I'm going to make humans. And then when I make humans, I'm going to make them love me. Oh, if they don't love me, I'm going to send them to fire to be tortured forever.
Ah, and I hear atheists say that all the time, but that is totally incorrect. Because you're putting the cart before the horse. God created us because he loved us. But we're the ones who rebelled against him. According to his sense of justice, as a judge, he has to show love to justice. He has to give justice to that lost child. Let me finish.
Yeah.
So what he did is he needed a sacrifice. He needed someone to take our place. So let's say you're in that courtroom.
He didn't need
and
that.
The judge, yes, he did. The judge had to sentence you to hell. He had to because
he
under the law, the
He's
judge was required.
Being.
But see, he still works by his own law. He doesn't work outside
the judge
of the law.
Doesn't make
he works
the rules,
within
though.
The law.
The judge does not make
the
rules. The
rules.
Judge does
he abides
not
well,
write
in this
the
case,
laws.
Well, that's
God
where God's a little different, because he's both prophet, priest, and king. See,
right.
He's all in one.
He can change
so
the
So he's
laws.
Not just a judge in the judicial system. He's also like the president, and he's also like the congressman. He's all wrapped up in one. So you're in the court case, right? And you have God about to sentence you. And so what happens is that his son Jesus then walks in and he says, put the punishment on me. Let me take the punishment. Let him go free. And that's what Jesus did by dying on the cross. He took the punishment for your sins onto himself. He's the one who went to hell for 3 days. He's the one that rose and beat death. And when we put our faith and trust in him, we get that grace. We get that justice is now on Jesus, and we are free then to live forever in heaven and not go to hell. God's sense of justice has been satisfied. Do you have children,
Mike. That's disgusting, man. That's disgusting. Yes, I have children, and I would not threaten them with eternal torture if they didn't love me.
Oh,
I would not require that. He does. What do you think hell is, man?
Well, that's where free will comes in. We have the right to choose God or not.
It's still disgusting. You're stopping. Stop. You add free will does not make it any better. If my kid comes in here and he won't leave me alone and it says he doesn't love me, I'm not going to threaten to torture him. I'm not going to be like, well, those are the rules, man. Now I have to kill. You have to kill something in order to apologize to me, or I'm just going to, you know, burn you forever.
Well, Mike, I have children too. I have three of them.
Right.
And
you don't threaten
to drown them.
You don't threaten to send wild animals after them. You don't starve them to death like Yahweh does in the Old Testament.
Because
are loving parents, right? We are loving parents who want to take care of our children, who don't want any harm to come to them. So we're not going to threaten them with harm.
Well, see, you keep coming back to threatening. You forget that, according to the Bible, we're already under the death sentence. We're born under. He doesn't have to threaten us. Instead, no, he reaches his hand out to rescue us from that death sentence.
That doesn't make it any better, man. That makes
it
worse.
It makes it much better because it shows that God loved it. Go back to John 3:16. Every atheist knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world.
He loved the world so much, he was unable to forgive them by snapping his fingers. He needed something to die. So he decided to create his own son to kill him in order for his blood to magically cure everybody of the sin he has given them. Did I get it
all
right? I
agree with everything you said, except the magically part.
Well, how do you think it happens, man? It's got to be magic.
Justice is satiated.
Well, how do you turn blood into forgiveness? Magic.
Michael, let's give me a sec.
Okay.
Let's back up here. Let's say one of your children killed somebody.
Okay.
It was just they grew up, unfortunately, and they became a murderer.
Okay.
And they're standing before the judge, and they're going to be sentenced. You're a father. Would you step in the place of your son and take his place if the judge was? If you could.
No, probably not.
You would let your son go to prison.
Well, my son killed somebody.
Right.
That's quite a thing to do. I'd be grieved beyond belief, but I don't think I would step into his place as the person who goes to jail.
Well, see, we're both fathers, so we love our children, and we would or would not do that. But see, this is where it shows that God's love is superior to our love as parents, because he went that extra step. He really did. He sent his son to die in our place.
Where is
he now?
That's
how much God loves us.
Where is his son now?
The Bible says he's up at heaven. And
great,
in this
so he's got his kid with
the
him.
Holy Spirit.
Great, so he's got his kid. He never gave up anything.
Would you let your child be brutalized?
My son is not an eternal being, and I can change the rules because I'm an eternal being. And I
okay. Well, let's say God did that. Let's say that God decided that he was just going to forgive everybody no matter what. Well, where does the justice then come for the people we've wronged?
Oh, well, you know, there's a jail system. Maybe we can put them in jail for a little bit instead of eternal torture for not loving you.
Again, you keep backing up on loving you, and loving is a portion, but
because
we're talking justice here.
That's pretty
how
disgusting.
How is justice satisfied if,
it's
let's
disgusting.
Say, right now, President Trump gets up, and President Trump says, I am going to pardon every criminal in the United States, and we're going to open the jails and let the jails out into the United States. Would you not think that the culture would be like, what? Where's the justice in that?
Right, that's why I said we could have a jail system. There's no need for an eternal torture. There's no need for eternal forever fire. There's no need for that.
Well,
and again,
actually,
I'm going to go to the just because we don't love him thing, because that is the most ridiculous thing. Just because he doesn't, we don't love him, he's going to torture us forever, dude. That's horrible.
Well, I find this in discussing with the atheists often is they get stuck on a particular thought or particular idea, like you are now with, you know, where's the love in that? And again, the point is not love. I've answered your question. It's
the
not
point
love.
Is
it's
justice.
Justice. It's
right.
The
and
answer.
That is disgusting.
Right, exactly.
And that is disgusting.
Well, is it disgusting
yes.
for President Trump to pardon every criminal in the United States?
Yes. Anything
so
that
why
man
then
does
should
is disgusting.
God pardon every person for their crimes?
Are you contributing Donald Trump to God?
I'm sorry.
I'm confused on what's going on here.
Okay. Well, you're saying that God, as the judge, should just pardon everybody or just let them do a jail sentence for a certain amount of time.
Right.
Well, would that be That's okay, not even in the United States, if Trump
that's what we do.
Pardoned everybody?
No, that's not what we're doing. We don't pardon everybody. We put them in jail, dude. It's called a judicial system. That's how it works.
Okay, well,
but in God's judicial system,
answer this, Michael.
You go
what
to jail
happens
forever.
Then?
You don't get out,
Michael,
and you're tortured
then?
While you're there.
Right, right. Well, let's say that you get out of jail. You've done your time in hell for however many years that you believe is a jail sentence.
Uh-huh.
What then? Would you want to live with God?
Then you're
forever?
Forgiven. I don't know.
Yeah.
If
see,
that person
that's
would,
the question,
I wouldn't.
Because you're free. You're free. You're now on the new earth with the new Jerusalem, and God is there. Would you want to live with God forever?
Me, personally?
Because
I would
yeah,
not
yeah,
want
personally.
To live with a child killer. Someone who tortures and kills children is disgusting to me. Someone who threatens me with eternal hell just because I don't love them is disgusting to me. I have a
right.
lot
so,
of problems with that person.
Right.
And
you
I think
do,
you
because
would,
you're an
too.
Atheist.
I think you would, too, in real life. If you met a real-life person who killed children because they didn't love, their parents didn't love them, he drowned, he starved them, he sent wild animals to tear them apart, and then he told you he loves you, and then you didn't love him back, and he said he's going to torture you forever. That's this
so
is
a guy who sacrifices his own son for that you would not have to go to prison forever.
Dude,
is
but he
not
starves,
an act of love.
But he starves, drowns, and send wild animals after children. You still think he's cool?
Well, once you're dead, then it's the eternal state. You forget that we're kind of like in a womb.
Yeah.
Picture a baby in a womb. They're in there 9 months. They can feel contractions. They
Nothing.
Can feel the water. They hear their mother's breathing.
Uh-huh.
But in 9 months, they're born. And then they live 70, 80, 90 years outside the womb. Brother, we are in a womb stage right now. We are like larvae. We are in the beginning stages of who we are really meant to be. And that's in the afterlife. That's the birth, our death. Is really a birth into a new life. And so if we die in this life, as Paul said, you know, what's it matter if I die or live? I will be in the afterlife or I'll be in heaven one day. I'm paraphrasing. And so that's what our life is. And this life is a preparation for the next. Unfortunately, we're born under a death sentence, but the just judge sacrificed his own life so that we can be saved.
Yeah.
Well, I understand you say that. And that's what's the wonderful about God is that we get to choose.
Right.
See, you're not being forced
so
to love God or
thing.
Not. You can
do,
choose to love God or not.
Let's go back to your judge thing. If I go, if I go to a courtroom and the judge is all mad because I didn't show him enough love, praise, attention, or money, he's mad at me. So he's going to torture me forever.
This is
in,
where
in
you're
jail.
Stuck on something.
Do you think, I am stuck on
you're
something.
You're stuck. The
I
judge
stuck
doesn't love
a,
you. Mm. The judge doesn't love you or not love you. He could care. Less, you're just another court case in a long docket
of
court
now
case.
Now the judge doesn't care.
So he has to give you justice.
Not in my world,
and
buddy.
In this case,
in
though,
my world, the judge is your God. And your God tells me that I didn't love him, so he's mad because I didn't love him enough. So he's going to torture me forever.
Well, you're saying love, but again, it's not the love issue. It's the justice
I didn't pay enough
issue.
Attention.
You have offended
I worshipped a different
God by your sins.
Anything.
You have hurt people. You have wronged people. I have hurt people, and I have wronged people. I have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And we are now sentenced to the... Now, originally, like I was saying earlier, hell was not created for humanity, not whatsoever. Matthew 25 tells us that hell was created for Satan and the demons. They were, before God face to face, they knew better. Hell was meant for them, but... When we sinned as a human race against God, we fell under that same punishment.
He knew that was going to happen. He knew all that was going to happen. Of course he created hell for bad people, people he didn't like or people that didn't love him enough. Of course he did. He knew exactly what was going to happen. You think he didn't know that people were going to disobey him?
Right. Because
right.
you know what
so he knew
about?
Exactly what he was doing. He created hell for me. He created hell for anybody else who does not believe in him. That's who he created hell for. He knew exactly what he was doing if he knows everything.
But you're an atheist. You don't believe in hell.
That's true, man. But you do. You're the one telling me I'm going to hell.
Yeah, but I've never been an atheist who didn't believe in God or hell, and clearly you do, Michael.
Wait, I do what? I believe in hell.
And you believe in God.
And I believe in God. Well, that's ridiculous. Let's get back on topic
Is it?
Here.
All yes. right, wait, you have an entire podcast dedicated
Yes.
to trying to disprove God in the Bible.
No.
Now, I
no.
don't believe
Stop
in unicorns.
Right there. Stop right there.
But
Stop
I don't
right
spend
there.
All my time trying to disprove unicorns.
No, I don't spend all my time trying to disprove unicorns or Yahweh. That's not what
okay.
this podcast is about. This podcast is a seeking for answers. None of this stuff makes any sense to me, man. And pastors and religious leaders are the ones who are supposed to have all these answers, who should know more about it than I do. That's what mm-hmm. this podcast is about. It's a search for answers.
Well, I would say it's a search for answers, but you're getting the answers, but you're still going back to your original thesis.
Because the answers don't make any sense.
You're not getting
me.
The answers. Well, what answer would make sense to you?
That's a great question. I don't know. Let's try.
Let's say, Michael, you're God. How uh-huh. would you organize the universe?
Well, let's see. I wouldn't need bloodshed for forgiveness. I wouldn't get mad okay. at people who don't love me. I mean, that is ridiculous. Let's start off there. And if we're going to create heaven, why can't we just create heaven on earth to begin with? Why all this drama? Why all this bloodshed, death, drowning of children, starving of children, cancer? Why? You don't need all that. If you can create a perfect place in heaven, why not start with that? Oh, he did.
Because God doesn't want to. Because God doesn't want to fill heaven with robots. He could have made an entire race of people that wanted nothing more.
He could have put us all in the Garden of Eden. He could have put us all in this happy,
but you know what?
Place. But he didn't.
We would have sinned. We would have sinned.
Nope.
We would have
How
rebelled
do you know?
Against him eventually.
We don't know this. That's just
Adam and Eve did.
Adam and Eve
were perfect.
Because he put his stupid trees there. If he didn't put his stupid trees in the garden, then nothing would have happened. But
oh,
God
so it's
decided.
God's fault Adam and Eve disobeyed him, you're saying.
Who stored the magic trees in the garden?
That was the only thing that they weren't allowed to do.
Is that the only place he can put it? Is that the only place he can put his magic trees?
So you mean when Adam and Eve, who had no rules and regulations against them, were only given one, do not eat from this tree, and they couldn't even do that.
There we go.
Would we do even better?
If I put a gummy bear with rat poison in it in the middle of my child's room, whose fault is it when that child eats that gummy bear? Is it mine?
Ah, but your child disobeyed you. You, I assume, you told your child.
I gave him free will.
You told your child, right, to not eat it?
Of course, of course.
Right, and the child did anyway.
Of course, because it's a gummy bear.
Why did the child do it?
Because it's a child.
Because they're disobedient, right.
So whose fault is it that that child ate that gummy bear?
We, because of our free will. We could choose to obey God or not.
Crying out loud, man, whose fault is it? The kid's fault or is it my fault?
It's our fault. We're the ones who disobeyed. We're the ones that acted against God.
Yeah, I know. That's okay. All right, so let's get back to faith. I really have some serious questions on faith.
Seriously?
Seriously?
You do, man. You really do. Now,
faith,
I'll give you the answers, but if the first half hour is any kind of show, I'll give you the answers, but you're not going to believe any of them. So,
well, it doesn't.
I don't know if we're just spinning our wheels here or not.
It all makes for entertaining radio, sir.
So gotta get the numbers. Yeah, okay.
Well, so can faith actually move mountains? I'm very curious on what faith can actually do, because the Bible claims it can do some pretty crazy things. Let's see, Matthew 17:20 and 21:21. Jesus claims that faith itself can move a mountain into the ocean or move it to and fro. And then he says that what is it? Luke 17:6. Sorry, excuse me. 17:6 says that faith can uproot a tree and then put it in the sea. Now, I'm very curious if you believe that faith can actually move mountains physically, move them, or if this is just
a metaphor. Don't think I haven't tried, man. I remember as a kid standing there, and I'm like, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try to move this mountain over there. You know, I even did the Star Wars thing. I held my hand out, you know, and it shook.
So funny you say.
All right, I have faith. I have faith. I have faith. Move that mountain. Move it. And obviously, it didn't happen. Now, Bible is filled with, it has 40-some different authors, and they all write from different styles. There's got your poets and your historians and your narratives and stuff like that. And God, who is the author of all those different styles, uses different styles when he speaks. Sometimes he uses like and as. Sometimes he uses symbols or symbology. Sometimes he uses literalness and just narratives. Sometimes he uses parables. And so when he's talking about faith that moves mountains or throws trees or stuff like that, it's a kind of, I'm not an English teacher, but the word metaphor it basically is a symbol for what faith can do. In other words, faith is so big, it can move spiritual mountains of a sort. Now, for instance,
that's interesting. He didn't say spiritual mountains, though. He said actual physical mountains, and then he even said he can throw them into the sea. He said
you
could uproot
a tree. He also
gave
many parables, too, but the parables were stories.
This wasn't a parable, man. He says, I tell you the truth, that faith can move mountains. I mean, that's not a metaphor at all. He says, I tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I think if you look at it this way, are you familiar with Franklin Graham? He's the son of Billy Graham.
I've heard of him.
Right, okay. So Franklin Graham, what he did is he held prayer rallies in every state around the country during the election of 2016. There was no way that, Donald Trump was going to win the election. Clearly, it was all in Hillary's court. And he held prayer rallies around, and he had people pray, like, hey, we as Christians believe that abortion is murder, and we believe that racism is wrong, and we believe, and we have all these different beliefs in what we believe in. And we were concerned that if Clinton and the Democrats, who tend to be more, you know, atheists or godless, so to speak, got in, that these crimes would still continue. And so through faith, we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we held rallies, and we held rallies, wow. And like a miracle, a mountain moved, Donald Trump won presidency. Now, I'm not saying that politics is an answer, but what I'm saying is that when Christians get together and they pray in faith, great things happened, and that's exactly what Jesus.
Then why don't you all go to a bunch of children's hospitals instead of electing an idiot? Holy cow, man! Why don't you go to the children's hospital and start curing everybody? If this is so magical and so and it works so well, why isn't there a cure for cancer yet? Why are kids still dying of brain cancer, man? Elect Donald Trump because you prayed.
I'm just using an example.
What about all
the kids?
Have you
seen any other organizations in human history that's ever done more good for the public than the Christian church? We live out our love. We live out the love that Jesus has given us. You will find Christian ministries involved in hospital work. And work. The Catholic Church alone in the Middle Ages was the only place to go where you could find help for lepers and wayward people.
Let's not go to the Catholic Church in the Middle
Ages. Well, I'm not Catholic, so I don't know. But you'll find that the Islamic belief is whatever Allah wills, Allah wills. So there is no outreaches. There's no donations that help the poor. Hinduism, the same way. Well, it's just their karma. It's just their bad energy going with them. There's no need to help these people. But you'll find with Christianity that Christians help people because we want to show God's love. And if there's any example of what Christians, God's love for people is his work through Christians.
No, I haven't seen it, man. I've seen a lot of anger, jealousy, hatred. Racism. I've seen a lot of that. Bigotry.
Well, I'm hearing a lot of anger here, too, so I don't think it's limited to Christians.
My anger isn't
anger at when evil prevails, and you will always see Christians angry when evil prevails. Now, we're humans, so not everybody lives it out as well as they should, but as Christians, we're supposed to be growing in our faith, and it's called that sanctification. It's a process of becoming more Christ-like, become more perfect, and that's a you know, even 100-year-old people struggle with that because it's a lifelong thing. So, yeah, do Christians sin? Absolutely. Do we get mad and say stupid things? Yes, we do. Everybody does. But it's a process of sanctification to become more Christ-like, and hopefully we learn and grow and mature over time.
You aren't the only ones helping out the poor and stuff, man. That's when it gets ridiculous. Not primarily. You can't say primarily either, because then I can say primarily that Christianity has killed a lot of people in history, that primarily the Christians are the ones that tortured the witches in the Salem witch trials, man.
Tortured that, witches? Are you sure about your history there?
Salem's witch trials?
Yeah.
Yeah. They tortured and killed a lot of people then.
They killed a handful of women, yeah. Yeah.
Disgusting stuff done by Christians, yeah. Yeah, so Christians don't hold this morality, dude. They don't hold the key to morality.
Just because they worship
a documented child killer does not mean they have this key to morality. Atheism is not moral. Atheism is merely a lack in a belief of a God. That's all that it is, man. We don't have any kind of moralistic stick or book or writings or anything like that. It's merely a lack of a belief in a deity. From my point of view, your God does not hold any kind of morals that the rest of the world should hold. He gets jealous very easily. He can't stand it when people don't love him or listen to him, so he tortures and drowns them. That's not moralistic, dude. That's not somebody who holds a high standard of morals. I hold a higher standard of morals than your deity automatically when I say I will do the least bit of harm to anybody and everybody. I'm going to do the least bit of harm. I'm going to try not to do harm to that person. I'm going to try not to do the harm to that person. I'm going to do the least amount of harm I can. Yahweh, well, he sets fire to people. He drowns people. He sends wild animals to kill children. So already my morals are on a higher level than your deity because I don't kill children. I never said I was God. Why do you have to add the God to it?
That's where it always ends up.
No, it doesn't.
The Garden
end
of
up
Eden.
There.
When Satan tempted Adam and Eve, what did he offer them? He didn't offer them a piece of
fruit.
He
didn't offer them anything. He just told them the truth.
He did. He offered them God. Let's go back to Genesis, if you want. We'll go to Genesis 3. And I'll show you what Satan said, is that, could you not all be like God? In other words, he was offering them godhood, and that's what atheism offers you.
No,
it not only offers
knowledge.
You godhood,
you
but it also
God.
Puts you at the top of the evolutionary chain.
For sure.
But let's go back history here, because you got it wrong that there
Your
is no atheist
opened,
text. There
will,
is atheist text.
No such thing
the writing
atheist
of Karl
text.
Marx and Nietzsche and stuff like that have been the foundation
texts,
of atheist societies for
no.
decades.
No. No,
yeah.
I don't.
Well, you want to talk about societies totally found in atheism? Let's look at that. Let's look at communist Russia. Let's look at communist North Korea. Let's look at communist China.
Let's look at the
How
Catholic
many
Church.
Tens of millions
How many
of people
tens of millions of children
at the
have
hands
been molested
of the morality
inside
of
God's church? We can go back and forth on bad things from each side, dude. It does not mean
right.
atheism is
but
anything other
But you just said
atheist
morality was
belief.
Higher than Christian
no,
morality.
No, I did not say atheist
You said
morality.
Atheists don't want to hurt
morality.
People.
My morality.
But if atheists are hurting people, then
dude.
That doesn't make them moral, right?
You're not listening, dude. You're not listening.
Well, I'm listening. I totally understand. I've had this conversation thousands of times. I know
well,
how it
did
always
Did you listen
ends.
To those ones? Because I'm telling you that atheism is nothing more than a lack of a belief. And me as a person, as a human being, would like to do less harm to other human beings because as a society, that will be beneficial.
Ah, so would you then say, would you agree this or not, as other atheists have told me, that humanism is the religion of atheism?
There's no religion of atheism. Atheism is merely a lack of a belief in a deity. That's all it is, man. It's not a lifestyle. It's nothing else. It's just a lack of a belief.
Well, you can say that, but that's not true. Because once you elevate humanity to the highest level, then who becomes God?
Atheism doesn't elevate anything. It's merely
it
a
does.
Lack of
it
a belief.
It elevates. Are humans more evolved than chimpanzees?
Yes, but that has nothing to do
are
with my atheism.
Are humans more evolved than whales?
Yes, but that, again, has nothing to do
okay,
with my
so
atheism.
Okay, so then who is the top of the evolutionary ladder on this planet?
I don't know. Maybe dolphins. I really haven't
maybe,
looked into it.
Maybe, but they don't have hands and they don't build anything. So
that doesn't... How do you know
Probably
that?
The human.
They could have a whole city underwater that you haven't seen.
Well, now we're just guessing. So if humans are the most evolved beings, if humans are the most evolved beings on the planet, then who sets up the laws of morality? Who decides what is moral?
Nobody decides what is moral. Nobody is the decider.
Oh, wait
nobody
a minute.
The
There's
decider.
Whole governments that decide what is moral.
They decide with laws. I don't think they decide what
right.
is moral. I think we
and
all
laws
decide
are based
what is
on
moral,
moral.
By
well,
voting certain
okay, well, look
people
at this.
In. And,
you
and
said it was
setting...
evil to let your child die, right? Well, what if tomorrow the government said it was okay to kill your children for any reason, for any way? Is that now moral?
What? I just told you they don't make moral laws. They make just but, regular laws that we decide are good for the society.
Which is morality.
Sure, we can call it morality. That's fine. We can call it morality.
All right. So the government makes laws based on the current morality. But
it
let's say that morality
would not make it a
changed.
Good thing. It would not make it moral to kill a child because that is not beneficial to my child. That is not doing less harm. That is doing more harm. And that's what your deity does. Instead of doing less harm, he does more harm.
Well, again, humanity was born under a death sentence. The harm he did, as you're saying, is he sent his own son to take the punishment for you. So
we did
I'm
it
not
ourselves.
Seeing why that's evil or bad
evil.
Or anything.
Sending my son to die for absolutely no reason is an evil thing. It
well,
makes
here
no
you go.
Sense.
You said not no reason again, but again, you're very incorrect on that.
Actually, there
is
no
reason
when I can make the laws, I can change the rules, I can change the whole world if I want to. I don't
right.
need my son to die if I can do all of that, right?
But then where's justice?
Right, right, right.
You could, but then
yes.
where's justice?
Thank you, thank you.
The Where's justice?
The justice is I've changed it and nobody has it anymore. Nobody has evil. Nobody has sin. That's the justice.
Well, you know what? That is exactly what God's going to do.
Gonna.
The Bible prophesies that we
it.
Will get to a time period
Eventually,
when Jesus Christ returns
after
and
he
will
kills things.
Defeat evil. Yes, he will. He will kill all
but
those who are evil.
To. He doesn't need
and
to.
And he will then set up his kingdom. And then there will be a time of eternity where we are back in that Garden of Eden, a peace righteousness and justice defines a time period where we walk and talk and have fellowship with God. There's no more sin. There's no more sinners anymore. So God is going to do exactly what you're saying that you want to happen.
When? What's he waiting for?
When?
Why is all this drama for? Why does he need it all? Why can't he just do it?
Oh, your answer for that is in 2 Peter 3.
Why is he waiting so long?
Well, he's God. He can wait however long he wants, right?
That's fantastic, but why? Why does he need the theatrics?
2 Peter 3:9.
Well, why can't he just start off that way? Again, why doesn't he start off that way?
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness or slowness.
Oh, yeah.
But is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, mm-hmm. but that all should come to repentance.
Except for the ones that
he killed. That's why he's waiting. He's waiting for every person that is ever destined to be born to get their choice or not, to choose him or not. And when those
he already knows
finally
what's
to
happen.
Get to that last person, already right, knows what's happening. He's God.
Wait,
he's
so why is he waiting? He already knows what's going to happen. Why doesn't he just snap his fingers and make it all happen in heaven? Now every person who was going to do it is going to be in heaven. There's your free will. There's your justice.
That's no justice.
You
why mean not? That we should snap our fingers and let every criminal out of jail? You just told me that you believe that criminals
that.
At least should go
no,
to prison for a while. Isn't that fulfilling some sense of justice?
Why doesn't he start off in heaven and hell? Why do we have to go to Earth first?
Because originally Earth was meant to be that.
So he messed
up. And it
up.
Will again. Do you know that actually the Bible teaches
sense,
that we won't be in heaven forever, but he's going to recreate the earth to a new earth.
Jerusalem, and there's going to be city walls city walls and city gates, and you can't get out of it. Why do there's walls and gates?
No, they're gates. If you have gates, you can come in and out. There's, it says they stay open 24/7, so they're not closed. And the people of the earth, and again, we're talking about all believers, all love the Lord, are saved. We're not under that death sentence anymore. Mm. We choose to live with God forever. And we're in eternity with him. Now, those who've rejected him, yes, they didn't rejected their chance of being forgiven, and so they're still under the death sentence, and they will still go to hell. And Michael, I hate to say it, but you will too. You will be in hell too, and I don't want that.
That's
Jesus
so
didn't
fair,
want that. That's
isn't
why
it?
He died for you.
So much
it
justice
It is fair,
because
he gave
so
up his
justice.
Own life for you, man. He
so
died
what?
For you because he loves you
he
that much.
He didn't have to. He did not
but
have
he did.
To do
He
also
believes
kills
he did,
children.
And he did.
He also drowns
what children you
children.
Keep talking about children? What are these children you're talking about?
So there's this thing in
drowning
the
children. Did
yeah,
you,
there's this thing called the flood in the beginning, and he
yes.
wipes out all of humankind except for a few because he's mad and he regrets making them. So he drowns every child on the planet. And then later on in the Passover, he comes down and he kills children in the sleep in their bed while they're because, you know, he hardened Pharaoh's heart. He wasn't getting his mm-hmm. blood sacrifices, so he killed children there. In Hosea 9, he starves children mm-hmm. to death because their parents weren't worshiping him. Then he sends wild animals to tear up children because his parents weren't listening to them. And then he makes their fathers and their mothers eat their own children because, you know, they weren't listening to him.
Eat their own children?
Yes.
There's no cannibalism in the Bible.
There is no cannibalism in the Bible. Please hold.
Yeah, bring that up because I'd like to see what you're referring to there. Did God bring justice on the world in the flood? Yes, he did. The Bible also says that God will bring justice again on the earth, and it's going to be called
Jeremiah.
The tribulation. It's a
Jeremiah 19:3-9. He threatens to make people eat their own children. He does it in one other place, too. He says that the mother will delight in eating her offspring. It's in there.
Oh, yeah. That was what happened when Jerusalem was under siege. The
it's
people
cannibalism
were being starved
in the Bible.
And they started eating their children.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people were
God
starving
this,
to death. They
God,
ended up eating their children. That was
God
a judgment.
Made this
matter of fact,
happen.
Caesar, when
God
Caesar
made this happen.
Conquered.
Your loving God,
God made it happen.
Made this happen.
Hmm.
He says, I will make them eat their own children. I will make them eat their own children. God did this because they weren't listening
to him. So he grabbed
their
hands and, right, he brought an army which surrounded their city and starved them to death for 2.5 years. And he did it again.
That's so
he did
fair,
it again in
man.
70 A.D.
He's so
and
just.
You know what the Bible prophesies?
So
that he's
going to
do it again, that the whole world is
so
going to be against
love.
Israel. The whole world, and they're going to try to destroy
the
two-thirds
world.
Of the Jewish people are going to die during the tribulation. It's already prophesied. Millions. You know,
yeah.
in just the
after
first year of the tribulation,
Satan.
1.5 billion people are going to die
cage.
During the tribulation.
Because he released Satan from his cage. Does that sound like a smart idea?
Well, Satan chose to rebel against God. Again,
oh, no,
free
no.
will.
During the tribulation, he's going to be let out of his cage. There's an angel's going mm-hmm. to open the door to the abyss and let Satan out for 1,000
years. You're mixing him up with Abaddon. Abaddon is a general demon. Satan will still be loose throughout.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Satan is bound for 1,000 years during the millennial kingdom, and he is released at the end. And why is he released at the end?
Why is he released?
Because he's a rallying point for people to choose God or not.
Oh,
man,
for crying
Michael,
out loud, dude,
history,
that is the most ridiculous thing. You just let
not,
the prisoners go.
It's the reality
you
of it.
You just said letting the prisoners go is a bad idea, and now God's going to let the prisoner go, and it's a great idea.
Okay, well, answer this question for me. Would you respect and love a God who created you, forcing you to love him? Is that how you want
all people for his own praise, man? That's what it says. It says
for his own fellowship.
Isaiah 43:21, the people I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise. He's so concerned about his own praise and honor that he's willing to kill children for it, to torture you forever.
It.
Oh, my God,
he deserves the praise and honor.
Oh, he deserves the praise and honor.
Because he did the ultimate sacrifice. He died for our sins.
Murderers
okay,
do
but
not
let's go back.
Praise.
You haven't answered my question
Murderers
yet.
Murderers do
you
not
respect
deserve praise and honor.
A God
child killers
who forced
do not
you
deserve
to love him.
Child killers do not deserve praise and honor. And I'm not going to love your God because he kills children. He can try and force
have the
me all he
that.
Wants. Great. But I will not worship or love a child killer. I have this issue. It's called empathy. And when children are killed or tortured or sent wild animals or eaten, I have a problem. I have an issue with it. That person who is doing the killing and the torture, I have a problem with that person. That person to me is a disgusting person. They're a terrible, horrible human being. But when
but they
your
don't
God
exist, so
it,
why should it bother you?
But when your God does it, you're he did it for a good
but
reason.
But he doesn't exist.
He's lying.
He doesn't exist. Why does it matter?
He exists in your mind, and you make decisions based on your beliefs, do you not?
Yeah, to love people.
Right,
exactly. Matter of fact, he left us with the two greatest commandments,
voted,
love God and love each other.
Based on your beliefs, correct?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. What?
You vote based on your beliefs, correct?
Absolutely.
And that is why it's so important to have these kinds of conversations.
Oh, this is about election. So what are Christians voting for that is so antithetical towards humanity?
I don't know. What are you voting for? What did you vote for lately?
The right to life.
The right to life. And how did you make that vote, sir?
That we don't kill people? The same thing you've been arguing about? We don't kill children?
Where is that that voting? Where did you vote for that? What did you vote for to get that to happen?
You vote for a candidate who
you
supports
pro-life
values.
You vote for Republican
values.
Candidates like Donald freaking Trump.
So you're a Democrat.
I am against Donald Trump.
Well, Donald Trump's a man like anybody else. Like Hillary would be
he's
any better,
man.
You know
human
she wouldn't
being,
be.
Man. He's a
There's
disgusting human being.
There's no candidate that ran in the last election that was good or bad. But we're not talking politics. We're talking about
faith.
But
you asked me why, and that's why. That's one of
so
the major
all this
reasons
is about
right there.
You
no,
hate
not
Donald
all.
Trump.
No. Again. He's putting words in my mouth. This is not
okay,
all
well, what
about
if we
Donald
went
Trump.
Back to George W. Bush? You know,
great.
The Democrats and atheists hated him, too, but what did...
And
you
hated
know,
him.
He wasn't Donald Trump.
I don't know about
well,
hated.
Is hate despise is a better word?
Hate is such a Yahweh word.
Ah, he hates sin, right. He used it quite a lot. I hate
He also
sin.
Hates the people
hate
in Hosea. He hated them. He hated them so much, he slayed their cherished offspring. This is the God
yeah, he also
worship.
Gave them 400 years to repent, and they refused
They didn't live
every
for 400
time.
Years.
Every generation after generation after generation. And you know what? These people, they weren't these nice, happy people living in peace and harmony with another. They were monsters. They were evil
people.
You know when God told to kill
Did
the Canaanites?
Did they kill children?
The Canaanites killed children. They used to have the statue
so
of Molech.
So you think people who killed
It was a statue
children
with the hands
monsters.
Extended, and they would heat these hands super hot, and they would put their babies onto these hands to burn to death. God said, kill them. If you
and their
knew of a country that continued to practice Molech worship that killed children, would you not want our U.S. Army to go in and destroy that country? We've killed 60 million of our own children. God
so
is going
weird.
To send his army to
you're
destroy
You're so against
us
the
too.
Killing of children, but when God does it, you're perfectly fine with it. It's no big
because
deal. It's like,
again,
it's you just brush it off. Like, it's no big deal because everybody else who does it, you like, have a huge problem with. But when God starves and drowns them, it's God. He loves us.
Well, bear in mind that when you talk about children, God talks about the age of accountability, where faith is based on reason and logic. You have to be able to think. And so those who are...
Come on, man.
True. It's just
not...
You can't tell me that any of this
is based on logic, though. You can't tell me that.
Oh, I could go on and on about how it's based on logic. It isn't just we Christians running around...
When's the last guy you When's the last guy you saw come back from the dead?
I haven't. I've never seen it.
It's not logical. It's not logical to believe that somebody comes back from the dead. When's the last time you saw an animal talk? When's the last time you saw an animal talk, sir?
I have
never. So it doesn't. It's not logical. That
doesn't mean
animals talk.
Have you met every animal on the planet?
I have met enough.
Have you met every person on the planet? See, you're basing your decisions like me on the amount of evidence that you have received. Christians, too, have made their decisions based on the amount of evidence you receive. You believe in evolution, which is just absolutely nutty, based on the amount of evidence that you've got or lack of evidence.
That's an assumption.
And we, too, as Christians, base our faith on the evidences that we've received. It's not feelings are involved, yes, but feelings are an after effect, not the during. So anyway, when you talk about children dying, they're going to heaven. Your children, if they're below the age of accountability and they die, they're going to heaven. So if children die, it's horrible, yeah.
Why torture
them? But even worse is a society that murders them. Well, no, no one's torturing them. Drowning isn't torture.
Holy cow, dude. Breathing in water is torturous. Starving children to death is torturous. Don't you think any of that's torture?
And what I do think, Michael, is this. And I've had this conversation with some of my closest relatives are atheists and other atheists.
Yeah, it always seems to believe in God for some reason.
You do believe in God. You know you're going to hell, and you're building a court case for why. Now, the Bible teaches that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. You will stand, according to God, one day before him. You will bow before him, and you will say Jesus is Lord. No, it's a fact. It will happen one day.
But,
brother, this is where Jesus comes in. He died for your sins so that you do not have to go to hell when you put your faith and trust in him.
But you don't know that. That's where faith comes in.
I do know that. Well, you don't know that dinosaurs lived 50 million years ago or billion, but they did. They did
not. I'm not basing my whole worldview on it, though.
You
I'm
are
not voting for it.
Dude, you know, that's a whole other. If you want to do another radio interview, evolution is a whole world. It affects everything you do and think and say. Everything.
You don't believe
dinosaurs
lived? It
reduces humanity to butte animals. Oh, I love dinosaurs. I've seen them all the time.
That has nothing to do with evolution at this point.
It does, it's saying that they've evolved into other creatures. But let's save evolution. If you want to get together again and talk evolution,
we could talk evolution
for hours. That would be a whole different subject. And you've only got 2 minutes left. Yeah. How do you want to conclude this?
Well, I really wanted to talk about faith.
Well, we did, but, brother. Yeah, we talked about faith, you know, up, down, left, and right. And it's a matter of,
from the evidence that I have, my
faith in God is what it is.
Right,
you have the evidence, same evidence I do, but you don't have the faith, therefore you do not believe it. And that's the choice that God gives us.
Right, but according to the Bible, faith is more than just a belief or a hope. Faith is an actual thing. And I love that you mentioned earlier it's kind of like Star Wars and the Force, because it is like Star Wars and the Force. You're moving mountains and plants with your hands or your thoughts. And then later on, you're healing people with your thoughts. And Mark 10:52, Matthew 15:28, Jesus heals people with their faith. He just says, by your faith, you're healed. So this is a magical substance. And then in Ephesians 6:16, you can actually take up a shield of faith against flaming arrows. So this is a substance.
Again,
this is more like a super.
More alliteration, yeah.
Well, it sounds more like a superpower to me.
Well, it's not our power. It's God working through us, through faith.
It is a,
faith moves mountains
superpower.
Because then God moves it. Well, if then you want to say Christians have superpowers, fine.
I've yet to see
I have no problem with that. I'm happy
Christians
with that.
Christians may think they have superpowers, but, but
well,
you know,
I think evolutionists think that, or atheists think they're indestructible, but brother,
that.
Someday you're going to be standing before the judge, the same
Who
scenario that
indestru-
we talked
Man,
about.
You're throwing a lot of stuff at me here. I never
yeah,
said I
well,
was indestructible. I don't think atheists think they're indestructible either.
Well, because you talk to atheists and they somehow think that reality doesn't exist, that God isn't there, he doesn't make the rules, and he's not sending you to hell.
Dude, my reality, animals don't talk and people don't come back from the dead. That's my reality.
Okay, and that's fine for you, but you have the same evidence I do, and you've chosen to reject it where I've chosen to receive it.
Nobody coming back from the dead. And I've yet
but
to
it
see
doesn't
this invisible,
change the reality
magical
of
man
it.
In the sky who's angry at me for not loving him. I've yet
oh,
to
I'm
see
surprised
him,
you didn't call him a spaghetti
him.
Monster.
Well, I like the invisible dinosaur deity myself, but
invisible. Okay, yeah, or the magic man in the sky. I love that one. The magic, like he's magic and he's a man and he's in the sky. All three of those are wrong.
Well, he's not a man.
Super. No, he's God. Now Jesus came.
He's a father, though, right?
Became as a man, right?
As,
but he's
as
not
a father.
He's not
that
a human.
Make, that would make him.
And
a
he's
male.
Not an angel.
Well, we're all in his image, are we not? So he's male.
True.
He's a father. He's magical, supernatural, because supernatural is magic. He doesn't know the way
to explain
it. Well,
he knows more science than we do. If you want to say supernatural, you got to say he knows a lot more science than we do.
Science. Come on, man. Science. Okay. Well, this has been
fun.
Well,
we're at the end of our time, so if you want to wrap, I'm more than happy to talk to you any other time.
Yeah, definitely.
The thing is, though, you're seeking answers. You're getting the answers, but you're rejecting all the answers.
Because the answers don't make sense.
I don't know what the purpose of your podcast is. I mean, really, I mean, just, you've already made your decision. You should just, like, put a statement on your website that says, this is what I believe, and tough luck to whatever else you all think. you're getting answers, but you're just rejecting them, and that's fine. You're allowed. That's what God gives us free will, to choose that or not. But, brother, you will stand before God one day, and every knee will bow, and every tongue confess, well, Jesus is Lord. And, man, I'll be there, too.
Even
I'll finally get
animals.
To meet you in person. I'd be... But I'll also watch you be sent to hell. And I don't want that, and Jesus doesn't want that.
Then
and that's
why
he gave his own life for you. You're asking wise of an infinite God. Just accept that's what he decided.
Just accept
that's
it.
That's what he decided. Just accept,
accept it.
That's
it
what he decided.
Worship him. As
hey,
long
you
as
decided
you play
to
along.
Have, you decided to have
there
kids.
It is.
I have to accept it. I don't have to know why you decided to
I
have
did
kids.
Not
you just had
to
kids.
Have kids. I just had kids. That's kind of what happens when you do things.
Well, I planned. I tried to plan mine. At least one of them was planned.
I think I figured it out. Faith only works if you play along. So all of this works as long as you play along.
Wow, that's great you bring that up, because that brings us back to what I first said. Faith is tied to obedience. You're absolutely right. It involves playing along, as you said, but it involves obedience to God. And why do we obey to God? Not because we fear him, but because we love him.
And
I love God, man.
That he's there.
I know you hate God, and you've given your reasons, and
I
understand.
I don't hate unicorns or trolls or leprechauns, man.
Oh, you do, man. Come on. I've never met an atheist.
Me
never met
myself.
An atheist who didn't believe in God. You, brother, you believe in God. You do.
Wow.
And you've spent your life trying to deny God.
Wow.
But he hasn't denied you. And the fact that we're talking today is a wonderful thing, because this is God reaching out to you saying,
it's me
hey,
reaching
I love
out to you,
you and I want you to be saved.
All right.
Well,
man.
You have
well,
no I... force behind you.
Well, I
but this has been nice. I love talking with atheists. It's like banging your head against the wall because you've already made the decision before we've even talked.
Man.
But if we want to do it again, I'd be more than happy to.
Fantastic, man. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Have a good time.
That's all the podcast there is for you today. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show and want to help us keep the recording light on, then stop by the Patreon page today at patreon.com/BSW the podcast and sign up to be a supporter of the show for as little as $1 an episode. Patrons will get access to patron-only content such as bloopers and unaired clips. As always, you can find us at the Bible Says What Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube pages. Please send all of your questions or hate mail to bswthepodcast@gmail.com. That's bswthepodcast@gmail.com. And whether you listen to us on iTunes, Android, or YouTube, you can help others find the show and let us know how we are doing by giving us a rating and or comment. While you're there, don't forget to push that subscribe button so you won't miss out on next week's episode. Until then, would you kindly pick up your Bibles and read them?
To the beginning of the Bible Says What. This is the Bible Says What. I'm at host Mike Tyson.
Oh, nice job.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to be hosting the show next time, huh?
Yeah, but what's next?
Can you just tell everybody to...
Don't forget to press the subscribe button.
There you go. That sounds good.
So you can make your podcast very better and amazing.
Awesome. Thank you, buddy. Say goodbye.
I love you. Bye.